All right, welcome into the Fan Pregame here on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Ailish and Justin. The end of the NHL regular season is tonight. The Stanley Cup playoffs are on the horizon. We'll spend the next 30 minutes teeing up some of the games on the network, and then we'll shift over to Molson Leafs hockey at 6:30 and pregame the final game for the Maple Leafs against Detroit with Gord Stellick. We've got that game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yeah, I hope Gord can make that one interesting. Because
I have a couple ways we can make it.
Yeah, you got some stuff?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm looking forward to that.
Stay tuned.
No buffer zone, eh? Last night of the regular season, we get one night off and then straight into the Stanley Cup playoffs starting Saturday. Only a 2-game slate to start. So I guess we're tippy-toeing our way in.
No problem.
But no rest for the wicked.
No.
We're right into it, and I cannot wait.
And we thought we would be hearing the voice, but we will be seeing the face of Jason Bukla, who joins us, Sportsnet NHL analyst, former NHL director, scouting pro hockey group as well. Books, I thought you were joining us on the radio, but it's a treat. We get to see you. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic, guys. I'm excited about playoffs. I'm a little upset with my barber. I went from a forehead to a 7-head here all of a sudden. I just taking a look at myself here in the shot. But anyways, I'll get over it. Hopefully it'll grow back.
Did you go to someone new, or is this tried and true?
No. Listen, Oak Ridge Barbers in London. I got to give them a quick shout out. I'm joking with Tony and his staff. They're great. I'm a creature of habit. Like, as soon as I walk in, I'm there forever.
What I was going to say. If you go somewhere else, you only have yourself to blame.
That's right. Are you the same way? You got a guy? You got a guy around
here? It's a little tricky because we got a guy in the building, and he's not always available. So sometimes I got to finesse it a little bit.
Okay. All right.
It's, I haven't got into the rhythm that you're in. Anyway, Battle of Ontario, enough about our hair. It begins
You might
on,
be losing your
Sunday.
Hair if you're watching the series.
You may have had there more hair the last time there was. Okay, there you just, you know, both try different
Keep
jokes
going.
Out. But you're just starting your... You know, your professional career, your hockey career, your managerial career, you're in the Sioux. Like, in the Sioux, that's hockey country. Like, what did the Battle of Ontario mean, you know, all those years ago?
It's great. I had a mullet back then, I think. But anyways, listen, I remember back, I was a huge Pat Quinn fan. Like, I thought Pat Quinn was must-watch TV back in the day for his post-game scrums, and he just had a presence about him. And that Leaf team back in those battles, it was just fun to watch. You know, Patrick Lalime letting in a couple of muffins from long distance to start the one game. I think that was maybe game 7. I can't recall right now. It's been so long. But anyways, this is fun, isn't it? I'm really looking forward to it. I was breaking down all the numbers today for Ottawa and Toronto. And, you know, the Leafs on balance, guys, we've talked about it, the three of us, several times over the last couple of years. The Leafs on balance this year, though, for sure. If you look at the underlying numbers, just the strength that they provide now in the hard areas of the ice, they're a different team. Like, when you start looking at the Matthew Nyes up front and the Bobby McMahon, where you got power wingers to complement the more finesse guys, although Austin Matthews isn't an easy out. Neither is John Tavares in the middle of the ice. But what I'm saying is you got those power guys that open up more space, extend plays. And then on the back end, of course, you got Chris Tanev and Jake McCabe. I can't underestimate how important it is for him to hopefully come back into this series healthy and carry the weight of a lot of heavy minutes, matchup minutes against an Ottawa team that, boy, oh boy, like even at the top, like Tim Stützle had 138 hits this year. They're not an easy out at the top either. It's not just the Tkachuks and the Stützles. You get down into the Gregs and obviously David Perron and then, you got Claude Giroux, who went 61% of his faceoffs. All the boring numbers that matter in playoffs, like starting with the puck, they've got a lot of really good quality players over there.
I'm listening to you, like, kind of weigh out, the pros and cons for each team or each part of this matchup with Ottawa and Toronto. But I couldn't help but watching some of the highlights from the early 2000s last night and just watching the physicality that those two teams had. And I know it's very different now, but I do feel like Ottawa would want to try to pull Toronto into that style of play because I don't think they're as comfortable. I think you see someone like Brady Tkachuk and Ridley Gregg and some of these guys that really want to make this a little bit unhinged. So is that an advantage that Ottawa might try to go vintage, go back early 2000s and try to get the Leafs maybe out of their comfort zone and get a little bit more gritty?
I like that. Unhinged, I think, would be a real strong strategy for them. Really get under their skin, get them off their game, get right in the grill of the opponent and challenge them to respond. I mean, you saw Brady Tkachuk and his brother, what they did at Four Nations. They know what they know how to answer the bell. They're programmed a special way. You can't make that up, Brady. Unless, like, you either are that or you're not. Like, and you know, he's a heavy lifter that way that's going to try and do that. I agree with you. The Griggs of the world, the Tkachuks of the world. Because on the back end, when you look at them on the back end, the Sandersons and the Shabbats, like, we're talking about a completely different type of defensive core on the back end of Ottawa compared to Toronto. Like, Toronto doesn't really have that puck rusher necessarily, that guy who's going to transition pucks, where those two guys, if you get into a dump and chase, the Leafs do like the dump pucks, get it in behind the D. If you get it into areas where they can be first on those pucks, I'll reverse that philosophy there. The Leafs are going to have to play heavy hard, because as soon as they jump on pucks, they transition them up ice very, very quickly and effectively with their speed. So absolutely, if I'm Ottawa, let's get under the skin of the Leafs as soon as possible and create distractions. Like Nick Cousins, he's a genius at that, because he's an ex-Sioux Greyhound, of course. That's why he's built like that. But, you know, he's a genius at that kind of stuff as well.
So the onus is on the Maple Leafs to flip the script, because obviously the last several postseasons, have not gone their way. When it comes to flipping the script, like the team has to do it, but there are individuals who also have to flip their own script. When you think about just the act of flipping script, or this very this thing that I'm putting out there for you to bite on, like, where does the onus fall? Like, when you think about that process, what name comes to mind first?
Well, it's obvious, right? I mean, you're throwing the fish or the line in the water here for me to link on to Mitch Marner, and
is that the one?
He's one of them, absolutely one of them, and I think he's going to get it done. I really do. I've been exceptionally hard on Mitch Marner over a period of time, and I'm not going to lie. Like, I, as you guys know, like, I'm pretty black and white. When you're getting paid millions of dollars and you don't show up at the hardest time of year, I got a problem with that. And I do believe that what we saw to him at Four Nations, kind of lurking and then pouncing at the right time to make a difference. And then even here, 100-point season, and I saw some things in his game, especially defensively, that I thought were really productive. I'll go back to the game a couple of weeks ago. I think it was Colorado we're in. I can't remember right now. It doesn't matter. But he was bumping more and creating more space. I think that on the Leafs side, it's definitely going to be, you know, they have to be at least good enough offensively. And I'm not talking about a point or two. I'm talking timely, and then definitely really good defensively. And I think Marner's going to do that. Austin Matthews fits into this. Like, what are we into here? Like, year nine of this? Like, yeah. We're going into almost year 10, right? Yeah. So it's time for these guys to rise to the occasion. And I feel good about it. I really do. And the reason I feel better about it is because I feel like the team is insulated better. Anthony Stolarz is the starter. He's played 34 games this year. That's like a career high for him. So I'm monitoring that type of leverage too. There's going to be a burnout somewhere in there. I don't know where that's going to happen. Hopefully not to the end of the June, if I'm a member of the Maple Leafs. But, you know, the Benoits, the kind of mid-range guys, the middle of the role guys, I think that there's good insulation there for the team, and that will elevate the other guys at the top.
Yeah, I think there's a couple candidates for script flipping this season. Austin Matthews, like, can he turn the switch? Can it be different than he's been? Can he be that dominant guy again? John Tavares has proven that he can still have great seasons in the seventh year of his contract, but it's been a little flat in the postseason. So it's not just Marner, despite me maybe leading you just a little bit.
Well, okay. Can I respond to that? You're absolutely right.
Sure.
Let's just go right to the core. I mean, let's call a spade. These guys are all paid 50% of the cap space or whatever that number is to get the job done at the hardest time of year. So absolutely, I'm staring inward at all of them. But the lightning rod one for me, because if things go exceptionally well, he's going to get paid handsomely to be a Toronto Maple Leaf for life and could go down to history, is Mitch Marner. So what I'm trying to say is that I think that he's in the best position right now to capture that opportunity. And I don't say that lightly, because I haven't really gotten there in the past. So I hope that he gets it done and proves everybody wrong, but definitely the core, like, that it's time, because if it doesn't happen this year, oh boy, it's time to make big changes for sure.
we're talking with Jason Bukala of Sportsnet here and former NHL director of scouting, working with Pro Hockey Group. Okay, so Leafs won't get their season or their postseason started until Sunday. So let's take a look at some of the other Canadian teams in the postseason. I think an exciting one, obviously, watching down the stretch were the Montreal Canadiens, who got that opportunity to clinch and to get in. Now, I do look on the other side of it, the Washington Capitals. Like, this hasn't been a prolific stretch of hockey for them. They've kind of let their foot off the gas pedal, deservingly so.
They've been doing other things.
They've been worried about, you know, getting goal-scoring chases and the health of Protas and Thompson. So, like, all of that, in this question is, like, can they just turn the switch back on when it's game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs? Or does Montreal pose a threat of a hungrier, like, readier team going in to start this playoff series?
This kind of reminds me of, it's a little bit different, but it does kind of remind me of way back, because we brought up the Ottawa Leaf series from, you know, a long time ago. It reminds me of when the Washington Capitals used to sneak into playoffs and always play the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round, but Pittsburgh was a wagon, and they'd find a way to either make it a series and sometimes upset the Penguins as well. Montreal's obviously ecstatic to be there. They're playing on house money. I just don't see how Washington, with that lineup, Ailish, like, they're big. Look at the size of some of these guys. Protas, Wilson, you know, even, you know, Ovi's a shooter, but he's a hard out. The guy weighs 238 pounds, whatever he weighs. Like, this is going to be an immense, it's going to be an uphill battle for Montreal. I don't think they win the series. I think they some more scar tissue is built up, you know, part of the journey. They've already gone this far. So I think Washington can turn it back on. They've been pretty pedestrian for me for a while, excuse me. And to your point, I'm less confident in Washington, though, compared to Florida, because Florida's coming off of that already.
Mm. When you look at the Montreal roster, like, it's certainly different now that Ivan Demidov is a part of it. I mean, in the first game, we saw Demidov third line, Laine fourth line. It's a bit of a wacky roster, given that standpoint. Yeah. But it'll just be good to get the taste of it, despite clearly things needing to be optimized and sorted in a certain way. But is it, like, first and foremost great for Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield to get this opportunity?
Sam Montembeau too. I think, you know, Sam Montembeau's done a hell of a job between the pipes. Yeah, it is. Those two guys are, you know, Demidov will become, you know, the most prolific scorer on that roster in time. It's going to take time. You already saw what he's capable of. We've talked about it right on the show, and now people see it with his arrival, that extra layer. But yeah, at the top of the table, especially Nick Suzuki. I mean, he's a complete player. Like, when we drafted Barkov in Florida, and they're different players. Don't get me wrong. One's a giant. One's, you know, Nick Suzuki's not that, but they're complete. Like, they play the game the right way. And Caulfield's obviously can just rip the pill. He's always been able to do it. Nick Suzuki is one of the best leaders, or one of the most cerebral players in all the NHL. And this is going to take his career to another level. It's no small task to captain the Montreal Canadiens in a rebuild into the playoffs. So I'm really excited to watch what the Habs can do. I don't think they win the series, but I'm happy that they're there. And I mean, anytime Montreal's in playoffs, guys, it's just good for the game.
Yeah, and I've got to wait till Monday for that one, but they'll both be well-rested, ready to go. Well, let's move over to Kings and Oilers for the fourth time. Like, is this the time? Like, is this the most, I guess, vulnerable that the Oilers will be, tired from last year, dealing with some injuries and not having home ice advantage? Like, is this when the Kings might be able to do something good?
Yeah, the home ice advantage, I think, can't be underestimated. The Kings only lost, correct me if I'm wrong, five regulation games. They're going to play tonight in a nothing game, but you understand what I mean. Like, out of all those, they're a juggernaut on home ice, and they get the matchups that they want. They start with the puck and they grind you. They're totally different than Edmonton, obviously. Edmonton, and they got so key injuries on the back end. The Ekholm one is massive. The goaltending is a question mark for me, but I just can't see Edmonton's top end not. They're going to play half the game, and I think it's going to be a handful for LA. I still have Edmonton winning the series in six games, but to your point, this is LA's best chance out of the last 4 years to make this right.
Yeah, it's going to be real tough losing four in a row if they do that, that being the LA Kings. Oilers are fascinating, because if anyone needs to, like, make a serious 180, I guess it would be, it'd be the Oilers. Like, you know, not to say that they played horribly of late, but it's not like Stanley Cup favorite like we expected coming in. Like, it just hasn't looked right. They look their age, which is one of the older teams in the NHL. But McDavid and Draisaitl have been, like, semi-sidelined, if not fully sidelined by injury. So it just feels like, yeah, it's going to have to look a lot different. An old team losing a really important player in Ekholm certainly hurts. Do you worry at all, Books, that they've maybe squandered a window? Like, they could win the Stanley Cup this year. They could.
Do a little bit.
They're in the top five in terms of probably if you were drafting teams, they could win the Stanley Cup. But do you worry that they may have missed the boat here?
I do a little bit, Justin, to be honest with you. I feel going back to last offseason when they made – so the offer sheet scenario presented itself and McLeod got traded to Buffalo. When you lost Holloway and McLeod up front especially, and then Fogle went to the LA Kings, a lot of the B-level speed and grit of that lineup went out the door. And I don't feel like Edmonton is as fast and as tenacious as they were a year ago. Now, when I go to the Ekholm scenario and I talk about penalty kill, if you guys remember last year, like their penalty kill, I think they might have been like, they might have killed off like 27 straight, some ridiculous number in the playoffs. What does that take? Good goaltending, obviously shot blocking and a lot of high leverage with your D. Now Ekholm's out, Skinner's not playing to the best of his ability. So as I sit here and I spew about this, I'm contradicting myself because I've got them in six games, but I just do feel that for the long haul, to your point, I'm not so sure that it's going to be sustainable this year. So that part I'm worried about. And yeah, they might have. And, you know, Bouchard, you talk about polarizing players like Evan Bouchard, you know, he can rip the Bouch bomb and do some things offensively, but he can also absolutely fall asleep at the wheel defensively sometimes. And his minutes are going to be elevated even more in this series.
I appreciate.
He's like Matt Marchese at our charity tournament.
Ripping the Bouch bomb.
And then falling asleep defensively.
I like rip the Bouch bomb, but I don't know if anyone else says rip the pill like you, Bukala. I think you say it pretty much.
Oh, sorry.
I love it. I think you need it on a t-shirt. You got one. You got some pro hockey group there. Get rip the pill on the back in big writing. I think that would work well.
I have to tell you guys, as I've become more comfortable and grown to consider you guys friends, I have to be careful that I'm not too loose-lipped because we are on TV and on radio, right? But these are like these scouts speak, you know. Like I feel like we're in the room sharing a coffee,
yeah, like
lines, and we're
yeah. You should have heard Feud on the weekend. Okay, Blues and Jets, two new coaches, right? Monty comes in season. Scott Arneil takes over, and it seems like both have inspired like serious change. When you look at those two teams and how they may have improved or grew or evolved into something. Like, what stands out? Like, how did Arneil bring this to the next level? And what did Monty do to completely change the reality for St. Louis?
Yeah, so let's start with St. Louis real quick. First of all, lightning in a bottle, similar to the Nashville Predators last year when they went on that run. Monty, he's getting the most out of the top of the lineup to play the game the right way. The Jordan Kyrou's, the Thomases, like Robert Thomas always plays the right way. But, you know, obviously he got a lot out of the Holloway. You know, so the younger guys at the top, they weren't just scoring, but they're playing to an identity and playing the game the right way. Jordan Kyrou, for example, he's always been putting up offensive production, offensive numbers, but his attention off the puck and his three zone detail has been pitiful. So what they've done is the second tier of their group insulates with strong defensive play, but the top tier is bought in. It's amazing to me that they did what they did as well without Colton Parayko in the lineup for that long run. Like, think about that for a second. So they're only going to get better. So total team game there, enthusiastic, the whole nine yards. On the Winnipeg side, I honestly think that this team was highly motivated when they got run over last year by the Colorado Avalanche in the first round. It was a track meet against the Avs. They didn't defend well. They got caught flat-footed, including the goaltender. Everything went wrong. The tracking, the timing, the whole nine yards. I think that the entirety of the buy-in is better. It will come down to special teams for the Winnipeg Jets. They are at the top of the table pretty much across the board, guys, in special teams and underlying numbers, except for the one, which is penalty kill. And that second category there, and this is when the Gabe Vilardis and the Shifleys and everybody got to get real, real strong in the faceoff circle, especially on their strong side, the backhand side. They're a middle of the table penalty killing outfit, sometimes trending lower than that. So that puts more stress on your goaltending and your D. And, you know, they've had some guys blocking shots. Sandberg recently took that one off the kneecap last week. I just about fell off my chair hoping nothing bad. You know, so we'll see. I got the Jets to win the Stanley Cup. I think that the team's motivated. I think they got the best goaltender. I think they've got girth. I think they're scoring. I think they're the most prepared unit as a whole. I've got them to beat Tampa Bay in the final. I'm a homer. I want a Canadian team to win. I'm not going to lie to that. but I just feel like they're really well constructed.
Okay, I was
Books
gonna
on Tampa.
We're on Tampa too. A little bit.
We're on Tampa. Yeah.
I haven't made my official picks. We're doing that tomorrow. But since you made yours, who's your dark horse? That's a team that might have an upset. There's a couple, obviously, wild card teams or teams that are maybe being slept on. Like, what's the team that we should give a little more credit to?
Well, you know what?
You're going to say Ottawa.
I hate to say it, but I am going to say it. Mm-hmm. You know, how much more motivation the Ottawa Senators need? Think about it. It's been an eternity. They've been building. They would fall apart after Christmas, been waiting for this opportunity to get into playoffs. They get the Battle of Ontario. There's a lot of noise around it. You know, there's going to be a lot of blue and white fanfare in their building, and that's not going to sit well with them. They're already motivated. How much more, like, if they've got another 10% that they can give out of this Ailish, like, can you imagine? Yeah. It's going to be a really tough vote. So it comes down to Allmark. Can Allmark get it done? His numbers have always been good in regular season, or, you know, splitting time, mm-hmm. really. Let's be honest. This isn't a 1A. This isn't a 60-game goalie, but his playoffs have fallen off a cliff. So we'll see. I think they are a dark horse. They're going to get the Leafs all they can handle, and they're going to be a complete pain in the rear end right from the drop of the puck. So Toronto's going to be having to respond to that.
We got
to
run, Book. So this is like yes or no question. Stars on a 7-game losing streak to close the season. Is that foreshadowing what we're going to see over potentially 7 games versus the Avalanche?
They beat the Avs in 7.
Okay. So not that big of a deal.
Not that big of a deal. They're going to get a little bit more healthy, and I still like their group, so I'm going that way. But wow, what a horrific matchup for the league. Two big teams like that. One of them is going to be Gonzo right away. It's too bad, guys.
It's going to be fun. Well, happy playoff eve, and happy Easter weekend, Books. We appreciate you coming on, and we'll chat soon.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Of course. Thanks so much.
Rip the pill.
Jason Bukla, Sportsnet NHL analyst, former NHL director of scouting and pro hockey group. A couple of great lines there.
You're nailing the eve, by the way. Hmm? The eve.
Yeah, I heard Frank Cervelli on the morning show today give a eve.
Really?
And no shout out to me.
Wow. Yeah, we're going to have to take that up with him next week.
I was
week.
Waiting for him to be like, oh, like Ailish introduced Stolen me to dollar. Last night. Yeah.
Jeez.
Okay, you know, the more we talk to people before the Stanley Cup playoffs begin, I'm starting to think, do I have to change my bracket? But tomorrow we're locking it in on the show. We're just going to spend 30 minutes going through Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, you haven't locked it in, so
no, I know, okay. But he's changing my perspective a little bit. I'm going to go with my gut.
What changed? No, quickly. We like,
that he still thinks the Stars can beat the Avs. Jason Robertson left in a knee brace last night.
I know. I can't solidify it,
but I really think I'm Avs girl.
I got to adjust my formula after another loss for Dallas.
Yeah.
They were top 3 and they might have fallen out of that.
That's true. Oh, yeah, your formula.
Not that game 82 should matter.
No, it shouldn't. But it will matter. On the other side of the break, we will talk about the Leafs, who are hosting the Detroit Red Wings. It's going to be an interesting one. Leafs have to play all their players, though, because
no knee braces,
they have
hopefully.
No health first. They have no cap space, so they can't really call anyone up. Let's do some best bets before we wrap and come back with Molson Leafs hockey. Yep. We've on the network tonight. There are some interesting games, including Washington at Pittsburgh. It's a 7 p.m. start. That's up next on Sportsnet. We've got the Islanders and the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's a 7 p.m. start on Sportsnet 1. Too bad. I felt bad for Columbus. Also felt excited for Montreal. I was conflicted about that one. But I'm going to go to the Washington-Pittsburgh game. A lot of quotes coming out from Ovi today. He's like, I'm not retiring. This is not going to be the last time I play Sid. So I'm going to have a little Ovi and Sid parlay, both of them to score. It's the last game of the season for Sid. Ovi's gearing up. He's got 896 goals still. I thought he was going to get 900. And it's a Washington debut in net. Clay Stevenson. I think it's going to be Ovi and Sid to score and maybe even
Sounds
the
Sounds like an NCAA wrestler.
It could be a sloppy one tonight.
Clay Stevenson. Islanders and Blue Jackets are on the network, as you mentioned. Poor Blue Jackets. Couldn't get through as Montreal does the job last night. But you know how Calgary was like so valiant and they're coming up short?
Yes.
I feel like the same thing's going to happen with the Blue Jackets.
This team, play with some pride tonight.
This team had an unbelievable year. And the Islanders have nothing to play for tonight. Blue Jackets will be playing for pride. I think it'll be a celebration of sorts for them when they get a victory tonight. I'm going to take them, unfortunately, on the puck line because you got to lay it to play it on the Blue Jackets just in on the money line. So I'm going to go -1.5. Maybe we need an empty netter. Maybe we don't. Maybe it's just a walkover. But -1.5, the puck line +140. Blue Jackets beat the Islanders tonight and celebrate what was an unbelievable season despite no playoff appearance.
Montreal sold over blank dollars in Demidov jerseys during his debut last Monday. Hurry.
$2 million.
$2 $2 million in jerseys?
I don't know.
$250,000.
I thought I was going to be impressed by it. $250,000.
Crazy. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back on Molson Leafs Hockey on the other side.